good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are. I'm Reverend Gail Dobert, and I welcome you to Unity of Bay City, to our wonderful podcast, Now What? Unity of Bay City is dedicated to all those who are seeking to discover their spiritual path and who strive every day to bring goodness and love into our beautiful world. How do we do that? We grow together as we discover and practice positive practical tools for our own personal and collective spiritual growth. No matter where you are on your life's journey, you are so very welcome here.
Hello and welcome to Now What? My name is Scott Love and I'm your host on this fascinating and fun frolic through the mystical and inspirational. I'm with Gail Dobert today, the Minister of Unity of Bay City. How are you doing today, Gail?
I'm well. How about you, Scott?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing really good. It's been autumn is on its way.
Yes, and I love it. It's my favorite time of the year.
Autumn is my favorite time as well. I'm a four seasons guy, but I love autumn.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on today, Gail?
Well, it's been a very, very busy day. We've got World Day of Prayer this evening here at Unity of Bay City.
Today is
World Day of Prayer. It starts tonight at 6 for 24 hours prayer vigil here. And, well, it's worldwide. And there's a big opening ceremony at Unity World Headquarters in Missouri at Unity Village, and then we're having one here opening, and then the church will be open, not every minute of 24 hours, but we'll be here today and tomorrow for folks to come in and put their prayer requests in and sit in vigil.
Well, that's very cool. Now, is there a set prayer, or is it just open, or is it like a mantra that they're trying to get everyone to say at the same time, or is this an open space of prayer?
It's an open space of prayer. There's a theme every year,
right?
But it's not anything that anybody needs to recite. It's very much affirmative prayer,
right?
What Unity has been founded on for the last 135 years. It was prayer that started the whole movement, and that's what keeps us going. And Silent Unity has been around for about 130 of that, actually from the very beginning, so 135 years. And has served millions and millions of people of all faith traditions. 1-800 now pray, and it fits for every faith tradition.
Now, is this International Day of Prayer? Or?
It's World Day of Prayer.
World Day of Prayer. And is this new, or has this been going on for a while?
35 years.
Okay, so did you notice, and this is where I was leading up to, that there would be an uptick in prayer requests at Silent Unity during the World Day of Prayer?
Yeah, oh, yes, definitely. Definitely.
That's awesome.
I was the director of Silent Unity for 10 years at Unity Village.
Yeah.
And we were taking over 1 million calls a year. And the uptick during World Day of Prayer was phenomenal. But we're there 24/7. We never close. And, you know, Charles Fillmore, the co-founder, started telephone prayer ministry in 1907, when there was only about 7% of the homes in the United States even had a telephone.
That's awesome.
He was always on the cutting edge. He was on the radio as a first pastor on the radio in Kansas City, you know, and Myrtle was the one who proved the principles through her healing. So it's a rich tradition and a movement that is continually moving.
Well, I'm going to a little jag right here.
Yeah.
Would you mind starting this podcast with a little quick intentional prayer?
I would be most honored to do that.
Sorry to like just put it right there.
That's kind of what I do.
Very good.
Yeah. So let's just take this moment. Just take a breath. That's where all prayer begins, in just taking a conscious breath and allowing ourselves to just sink into the divine, into that divinity within us. And we affirm that we are whole and healthy. We use the I am as a statement of truth not a question, not a beseeching, not a begging. We declare, I am whole. I am healthy. I am wise. I am prosperous. I am loved. I am loving. I release and I let go, being able to relax and allow the universe to move, our source energy to move. Some may call it God. As long as we remember that it's within us, always. And so moments of silence, prayer is moving into the silence, stating, I am, with intention, with clarity, with faith. And then we let go now and we allow it to be so, and gratefully so it is. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So looks like you got some notes in front of you. What's going on with those?
Well, last Sunday, the whatever date that was, September something, was it the 6th or something?
We'll just call it the 6th.
Yeah, sounds good. Last Sunday. Mm-hmm. I talked about where forgiveness begins. Forgiveness is something a lot of people call about for prayer. Forgiveness of others, forgiveness. But here's the piece that I talked about Sunday mostly was forgiveness of our own self. Yeah. It's so easy to tell somebody, I forgive you, you know, to pardon them, you know,
right.
And it's not always easy. I mean, sometimes it's really tough and sometimes it can't be done because that person is either passed on to the other side of life or it's just an egregious act.
Yeah.
Humans can be so mean and so thoughtless, you know, that's our humanness, but our divinity is always right there. If we can cut through the human angst and worry and fear and anger and all of those things, not to get rid of them because it's part of our humanity. And it's not about blame. It's about understanding that we're human and that our divinity will set us free from beating ourselves up constantly. When we can take a few moments every day, and I repeat this all the time, little and often, throughout the day, if we pay attention to our thoughts and what's running in our mind at any given time, go, wow, why was I thinking that? Wow, that was a fear thought. Golly, I was just really thinking about how much that person bothers me or how much I love that person or, you know, what are you thinking? And so, and you have to watch it, like doing this at a stoplight, because then all of a sudden it changes and you're sitting there and people are tooting at you,
right.
You know, get moving. But there's so many times, so many parts of the day where you can just take a breath, you know, the shower is a nice place,
mm-hmm.
You know, before you hop out of bed in the morning, before you go to bed in the evening, when you're having maybe a quiet lunch by yourself. And just breathe, deeply breathe, and allow that breath to move you to just a little bit of relief, just a little relief. And then pay attention to the thoughts you've been thinking. Are you feeling anxious or agitated? Why? The thought comes and then the emotions start.
Yeah.
The thoughts happen. And then it stirs our body up and we feel anxious or we feel calm or we feel afraid or we feel safe.
I've found sometimes that forgiveness comes in phases. Like when I think of forgiveness of other people or forgiveness of self, you know, it starts with acknowledging that, first of all, there's something that needs to be forgiven,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that there's a healing that needs to take place. I believe it was Marianne Williamson, the first time I heard this, or maybe someone said it and attributed it to her, but it was that forgiveness is letting go of all hope for a better past.
Yes.
Yeah. And that really sunk, that really hit, because there's a lot of things that, you know, I was personally one of those someone who really needed to learn to forgive other people, mm-hmm. you know, going back, way back. And it took me a while, but it came in phases and comes in waves. And it really starts with just acknowledging that there's something there. Mm-hmm. And then almost immediately now it comes to, and there's nothing I can do about that right now other than accept that that being or institution was not healthy in the time that that decision was made.
Yeah.
You know, they're either mentally not healthy, emotionally not healthy, because hurt people, mm-hmm. and healthy people help each other heal.
Yes. And we all go in and out of the hurt and the healthy.
Yeah.
That's our human condition, especially when we're children and things happen that are beyond our control. And that memory lags on and it can spark behaviors that, and then you wake up one day, you know, and go, wait a minute. That was a long time ago. And that key phrase of there's nothing I can do about it now,
right.
other than change my mind. I can change my heart. I can open my heart and say, I don't have to hang around with those same people or do those same things again, but I do have to figure a way to let it go.
Yeah.
And that's where prayer and meditation and we think of prayer as, oh, please, God, you know, many times that's been the norm, but it's not that, because God is within us, not a deity in the sky. And we can give ourselves the gift of the breath, of a little bit of silence, and then solutions come up, or just forgiveness. One of the things I talked about Sunday was a friend I'd talked to about a relationship she had a long time ago, and I heard her blaming herself for that other person's behavior towards her. And I said, wait a minute. Why are you blaming yourself for everything that he did? Because like you feel like you deserve, like you were the one who inspired that in that person. And I said, when are you going to forgive yourself? You forgave him a long time ago. When are you going to forgive yourself? And then she just went on to relate the story again and how it could have been her fault.
Right.
And I said, when are you going to forgive yourself? And she changed the subject.
Yeah.
Because it's a difficult concept, you know.
She might have changed the subject, but the seed you planted is still there.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
you know, even if it's just like an influencer, you know, like a little, well, maybe, you know, it's not entirely my fault, or maybe it's not, maybe this part was mine. I'll own my part, but I'm not going to, that's really, I think, where there was a big transition when you can look at a situation and be like, okay, you know, I'm not 100% free and clear. And I'm also not the world's biggest jerk in this situation, but I am responsible for saying this, which I know was antagonizing and I knew it would be before I said it, but I had to get my digs in. Mm-hmm. So I'm guilty for that. And I'm also guilty for the way I responded. Guilty. That's such a weird word. Yeah. Responsible for, not guilty.
There you go.
Responsible
for. Let's not use that word.
Yeah. Guilty. Responsible for. I am responsible for my choices. And I'm not responsible for things that are not my choice.
But when we respond, being responsible,
right.
when we can take a breath before we respond, you know, we choose, if we take a moment and go, do I really want to say that?
Right.
And then sometimes we do anyway, because and there's nothing to be ashamed of.
Right.
You know, we're human, and humans are just a wild card.
Right.
We were born with full choice. We were born with the power to make decisions that are going to shift our lives and other people's lives. That's how we came in as creators.
Right.
We came in as creators, and there weren't any holes barred on what we can create or how.
Right.
There's some guidelines like affirmative prayer, like affirmations, like, you know, spending time and paying attention. You know, when my kids were starting to drive and leaving, you know, like, here's the car keys, there you go. I would say to them, pay attention, have fun, and I love you, instead of be careful.
Right.
Oh my God, there's a lot of dangers out there.
Right.
You know, driving that big 2-ton car, you know. So I learned from my father always saying, be careful. And I was afraid of pretty much everything as a kid.
It's like a little,
Yeah. Yeah. My dad just was always like, oh, don't fall. And so I changed that to pay attention. And that's really what we learn and teach ourselves to do. And so I hoped that they had some of that conversation in their head instead of, you know, be careful. Careful. But we don't need to be ashamed or feel like we've sinned. That's another miss the mark. Yeah, we miss the mark all the time as humans. Right. But it's nothing to be embarrassed or ashamed of, because the unconditional love that we actually came from and are, that will rise up if we let it.
I think a lot of times shame comes from knowing we could have done better, but chose not to. And it's in that choosing not to. Mm-hmm. For me, I'll speak to myself. Like when I know I could have done something properly and I half-assed it and I didn't get the results, mm-hmm. or maybe even worse, something detrimental happened, then I feel bad about not really putting my all into it. If, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and it's kind of like the same with anything. If we don't put, it's one thing to say that, you know, yeah, we're flawed and we are, you know, it's okay if we make mistakes, but when we allow that statement to fall in place of actually trying harder, I think that gives us a whole another reason to feel awkward or bad about something. It just feels like to me, it shouldn't. I'm going off on a tangent.
That's all right.
That's all right.
It's easy to do because it's complex.
Yeah.
But it's so simple that we can mess with it and make it meaning how we act and react, because there's some subconscious stuff from childhood or from whatever. Other things that we just blocked out and never addressed,
right.
that'll all of a sudden they pop up. So it's not being flawed. It's being human.
Right.
And forgiveness is something that we can give ourselves time and time and time again. But I understand what you mean. We can use that as a cop out too.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, I'm going to do this one more time, but you know, I'll forgive myself later, or I'll ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, later, because I'm just going to do this anyway.
Right. Which is kind of a selfish perspective. We'll ask for forgiveness as opposed to permission. It's like, well, no.
Has some deep forgiveness. Her daughter, when she was like in her 20, I think, was murdered. And they knew who did it, and they caught the guy, and they put him in prison. And Martha was, of course, you know, any parent that happens to their children, she went on the road to forgiveness. And after a number of years, was able to go visit him in prison and tell him that she forgave him. And that I'm incredulous over that. I mean, I applaud her and her, you know, due diligence. And so she's worked with that kind of stuff then for many, many years now. It's probably been 20 more or more years. But her approach, and this is something that she wrote, she says, my approach to forgiveness is deeply rooted in believing that forgiveness is clearly not a one-time event or tick box exercise, but an ongoing, lifelong process of releasing grievances, resentments, and judgments that keep us trapped in the past. Each day, moment, situation, encounter, and event present us with opportunities to forgive, whether forgiving ourselves for our perceived shortcomings or extending forgiveness to others for their actions. I think that says it just beautifully. And our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, said forgiveness really means to give up something. And that's pretty clear. That's pretty like, oh, give up something. And when you forgive yourself, you cease doing the thing you ought not to do, he said. It's a mental concept. The first step in forgiveness is a change of mind. Some mental attitude, some train of mental energy must be transformed. We forgive, quote unquote, sin, missing the mark in ourselves every time we resolve to think and act according to the divine law. And he says that the spiritual law is already fixed. There's nothing to be changed in spirit. It doesn't change. These laws don't change. The change is all on the part of humankind and within us all. The moment we change our mind, the divine law rushes in and begins the healing work. And you find that in 12-step programs. It was a Unity minister that co-wrote that, those 12 steps. And still, because of the steps, and I don't remember, you know, all what they are, but I know, you know, to go to people and ask forgiveness and to forgive yourself. People.
Yeah, one of the steps is to make amends. Make a list of all persons you had harmed, and then be willing to make amends to them, you know, unless when to do so would cause them or yourself injury. You know? Like sometimes just we might have this desire to make an amend or to tell someone we're sorry or, you know, reach out and let them know that we forgive them, which I've always felt was kind of weird. You know, unwarranted forgivenesses are kind of self-righteous in a weird way. But it's like we have to figure out a way to just forgive without, and that's, you know, going with God, going with, you know, just knowing that that God is, it's all good.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
Underneath it all, when you come right down to it, they're really, it's just our human construct of what's right and wrong. That's why there's so many different religions, so many different interpretations of the Bible and of all the, you know, wisdom texts from all religions. We made it all up. And then deep into all of those, there's a central force, which is this universal intelligence that brings it all back together. And but we're humans. Golly, we're just amazing at making stuff up and making it right. I'm right about this, you know.
Right.
But what for me, the proof is in the pudding. You know, if I can use these principles and see it happen in my life, no matter if I step off and fall on my face, I can sit back up and start over, you know. So, you know, it's healthy to examine our life and be sad or frustrated or angry about parts of it. It's just part of our life. And it is liberating and healthy to be conscientious in correcting these that we can correct. The things side of life already.
Right. And that's where I'm at right now. It's really weird. It's like the older I get, the more I look back at my life and I think of inconsiderate choices I've made. And I'd really like to go back and reach out and ask for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And I would, or at least strike up a conversation, and I go to look them up, and they're no longer on the planet, you know? And it's like, man, you know, it's.
But the cool thing is you can still talk to them.
Right.
You know, not as quite as satisfying of a conversation because you don't have eye contact anymore, but you have heart contact is always still there.
Maybe they'll recognize it as being more pure because they don't have the ego filter.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. They can see, you know, more clearly.
Feel it, right?
Yeah. They can feel it. Yeah. The mystery. So for me, we come to understand the freedom of forgiveness of self and others. We also can find more acceptance in as the great mystery of life. If we accept the mysteries of life, the ups and downs of humanity, as is. You ever buy something and it says, as is?
Yeah.
I noticed when I just sold my house and the prospective buyers went through and the loan people and all that stuff. The house was immaculate and everything was working. But you never know. You know, you get in there and something might be just off that I missed or the inspector missed. So they put in that clause as is. So if we can look at this mystery of life as is and then move forward instead of keep going pedaling backwards, looking over our shoulder and then crashing into a wall, so we can cultivate the habit of letting go and allowing the mysteries of life just to be the mystery, just to be that. And then it opens the heart and we have greater compassion and of ourself, compassion for our own precious self. And then when we have compassion for others who's done us wrong or not, it just keeps our hearts open and flexible and tender.
Let me ask you, let's say that there is someone listening at home right now, and they've, after listening to our words, or maybe even probably before they listen to these words, they're like, they have this ache, this yearning to seek out forgiveness. What would be for them?
Sitting in quiet contemplation. And that's where you have to discipline your mind. And what helps is to get quiet, have a couple of moments and breathe, and then allow your mind to just run its wild course, but not attached to any of it. So it's like watching, a fast moving river with the salmon, you know, swimming upstream, and those are your thoughts and they're trying to get somewhere. And so you just watch that and allow that and breathe. And that's it. And if you can feel a sense of calmness, even for a few moments, it helps take some of that pressure off, that anxiety off. And another good thing is to seek some spiritual counseling or phone a friend who you know will listen and not give advice necessarily, but just allow you to spill.
Yeah.
Those kind of things are helpful. But it's very underrated to take a little time in the silence, you know, even if you got some soothing music or in the quiet or under a tree in the bathroom, and just breathe and say, okay, I'm giving myself a break right now.
Yeah.
So that's where I start.
I've actually taken time to create a forgiveness journal.
Oh, that's nice.
And then I mistakenly, like, kind of embarrassing, back in the day, I had this journal, several journals. I always keep them in my backpack. I was writing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was writing all the time. And so I started this list of all these people that I had, that I wish I could say forgiveness for. And I like wrote it all out. And then my backpack came up missing.
Oh.
Yeah. And I wonder if anybody ever read it. And, you know,
maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe, you know, it's whatever. But now what I do is if I decide I'm going to write a forgiveness journal or a forgiveness letter, or a lot of times it'll just be a direct line to God, and I'll just be like, hey, God, check it out. This is what I'm feeling right now. You know, this is where it's coming from. And I'd like some relief on this, because I think that there is a relief that comes when knowing that, you know, just putting it out there. Mm-hmm. It's like taking some of the weight off.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. It's kind of like a cool rain on a really hot day.
Yeah.
Got yourself all worked up. And then this soothing presence comes over us, and we don't have to know how or why. We just allow it to be and let that be enough. Let that be enough. So just ask yourself, where does forgiveness begin in me? You know, how does that begin in me? And when you sit with those kind of questions, the answers will come. Somebody else will say something, you go, wait a minute. Yeah. You know, I think that's a good idea. Or, you know, so we just allow a little bit of space. Mind the gap, as the English say.
Mind the gap.
Mind the gap.
Forgiveness. I like that. We actually did a Portals podcast episode on forgiveness. Not too long ago, last year. So that's pretty cool. Maybe I'll link the two somehow.
Yeah, it is a very rich subject that always needs to be talked about because we kind of tend to hide some of that stuff. Not like hiding on purpose, but we ruminate on that kind of stuff without saying it out loud enough.
I think I kind of asked the question, you know, where do people who have been trained to go to God or to their priest when seeking forgiveness, what do they do? You know, now that maybe their foundation, their spiritual faith was rocked or they don't have trust in the system, mm-hmm. you know, and I think the difference between the physical church and your relationship with God, with the actual church and your actual relationship with God,
yeah.
you know, you don't need to go through a priest to connect with spirit or God, you know.
And, it's all right there inside you.
Yeah.
It's part of the package.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate this, and I hope that somebody can hear something that'll help their own forgiveness and heal their heart. And
very good. Thank you.
Very good.